Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The early line giving you the edge on Sports Grid, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. Hour number two, and Kev, we talked about baseball in hour number one. We have big things to discuss here. We got an NBA Finals game one, which we'll tip off. We'll look at all the ways to skin that cat, whether it's in the game bets, some of the futures bets for this series. And we have NFL football to discuss, you know, as we start to get into week four. We'll talk about some injuries. We'll talk about some games where you got to watch out for the hook, and big news in the NFL yesterday. We'll have to talk about that affects, you know, it could be one team, it could be two teams, it could be four teams. We'll talk about that moving forward. But let's get into the NBA here, because game one will in fact pop off tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern time. There has been a little movement on this one, Kev. I saw 5, 5.5 for most of the time. It is down to 4.5. The total stays at 217.5. If you like the Heat, maybe on a money line, you can get it at +166. The Lakers have been in kind of dogfighting game ones of series before, most notably with Portland, but these teams are pretty rested. They got it done over the weekend, and because of football and all sorts of other things, game one is here Wednesday. I don't want to ask you right out the gate for like your lean or your play here, Kev. What I want to ask you instead, because you are so plugged into this, as you are watching this, in the first quarter, in the first half, what are some things you're going to be looking for to see, like, oh, this is kind of the style of play Miami wanted, or, oh, LeBron is doing what he wanted to do? What are going to be some of the indicators of that? Could it be potentially like if Anthony Davis is playing from in the post or from outside? Could it be who is matching up in rotations on LeBron? What are some of the things you're going to be looking for early on?
You hit it right there. It's the second one for me. I really want to see how the Heat approach guarding LeBron and how effective it is. If you think back to the Rocket series, we said Robert Covington was their best option to defend LeBron and Anthony Davis, which made it difficult because you only guard one of those guys.
Right. Is not Bam Adebayo the best option to guard everybody?
No, so that's the thing, though. But I think Bam might be the best option to guard both of these guys, because we're going to hear a lot about Andre Iguodala.
Right.
It's not the same Iguodala. It's just not the same Iguodala. I mean, there's a reason why Jay Crowder
started 5 years ago where he was at, right?
Exactly, right? And Jay Crowder, by the way, starting to lose a little bit of his minutes. The hot shooting that he was providing this Heat team looks like he got hit with the regression wall, like,
stick
by a zillion. I mean, Mike, yeah, it looks like he got beat up by a regression stick. Like, it's crazy how much that's, like, come back down. And if he's not hitting threes, can he stay on the court? And even hit Jay Crowder to stop LeBron James. Like, I don't feel great about that.
Right.
The obvious answer I think you're going to hear a lot about is Jimmy. Now, Jimmy has for years tried this assignment. It's hard. It's LeBron, okay? And even if, let's just say, he can bring it down. You already know where I'm going with this, Dane. He can bring this down a bit. What does that then mean for the offensive
load
that Jimmy's going to have to carry, right? So now, and at the end of the day as well, we know the way the NBA is. You could 9 times out of 10, if I get enough pick and rolls, I might be able to switch. So this is where I'm already starting to think that the Heat might come out in this vaunted zone that they've been getting praised for during the postseason. But if the, and you got to think the Lakers have been prepping for it. If the Lakers can find gaps in the zone, I don't know their approach to guarding LA.
Yeah, and that's like, that's the beauty of game one, right? We're going to start to see how, what the game plan is, what the strategy is, right? And I'm very intrigued by that as we welcome in our radio audience from around the country, including, you know, some people out there in LA that may be listening with a vested interest with the mightier 1090. Kev, let me ask you, you know my thesis as it comes to the totals in these games. As the playoffs go along, even as games go along into the fourth quarter, if they are close, we get half-court possessions. I know these teams are good in transition, but we get more and more half-court possessions. I don't know that we're going to see Bam Adebayo or LeBron James with as many chase-down blocks in this one as it continues to get tighter. I see a total at 217.5. Is this any play for you?
I lean towards the under. I think that these are two very good defensive teams. Yeah. This is the NBA Finals. Possessions should be tight. I will say this. There is a... and ultimately, I probably won't be betting this total in game one. You can feel it out, man. We got... like, listen, we got at least four of these things. And most people would expect we'll have more than that, right? The Lakers and the Heat love their transition baskets. Love their transition it's baskets. True. And if those start to come, well, that's how you get totals jumping, jumping, jumping up, right? And we saw last series, LeBron starting to drive a bit more, trying to force the ref's hand at some calls. We know AD likes to try to live at the line. So does Jimmy Butler if there's a ton of free throws. This could be a game that gets into the 220s, maybe even the 230s, and you're looking at it and you're like, this is a little sloppy. How are there so many points? Because the possessions are quick. It's transition ball. It's forcing turnovers that get you out. Because the Lakers are going to throw zone probably at Miami as well. Quick hands, high hands. We're running the other way. Foul, stop the clock, get points. So this is a total. I lean towards the under. And I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, Dane, if it goes the total other way. And we're like, wow, I can't believe 202.
Right, 93-86 or something like that. Right.
They played a game this year that was 95-80.
There you go.
So, like,
right. So it's interesting. Right. And things are only, as I say, as we get along, going to get a little bit tighter. I have so many more questions for you about game one, about this entire series, okay? And we will do that. Not the least of which is, like, where's your rooting interest? You've been all over the Heat and all over LeBron for the last few months. We'll find out about that when we come back on the Early Line.
Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in, everybody, right here onto the early line. Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. And, you know, what's so great is I have the opportunity to pick Kevin's brain every morning about this. If you have been following him on In-Game Live, he's been giving out props. If you have been, you know, on February, he talked about this as the NBA Finals matchup. I was with him on parts of it, but this is my resident basketball expert, so I gotta ask him a couple of questions still. You mentioned that most people believe we're gonna see at least four games in this one. So I want to ask you about that because they have the market for the exact series score and the number of games. And I thought it was intriguing, Kev, yesterday when we kind of gave a cursory look to this that, you know, five games and seven games were pretty much the same number or like 10 cents of difference, right? So that says to me that smart people think this could be the gentleman's sweep or as competitive as possible. Where do you flow on this? I know you like LeBron. I know you love the Lakers, you know, but you've been riding with Miami as well and had made the point previously like, hey, they've only lost like two games all playoffs. Mm-hmm. How long do you think this series goes?
So, man, and I don't know if you know the full scope of it, but like if someone told me what team do you have allegiance to, it would be the Miami Heat.
Right, because you're an early baby LeBron lover, right?
Right, like
not one, not two, not three. Yeah,
and I stand by it. We're coming for seven. It just wasn't all in Miami. Don't you worry about it. Which is a shame, but it is what it is. This is a thing where we kind of had a conversation about this the other day. It's like if I tell you the Lakers are going to win in four or five, it sounds disrespectful. But the odds boost that's available actually at the FanDuel Sportsbook of the Lakers to win the title in four or five games went from plus 105 to plus 150. I think taking them up on their odds boost would likely be how I want to play it. Might it go six? Could it even go seven? Yeah, again, like we've said, like, this is a Heat team you just don't want to really be counting out. This is a team that has stayed, you know, they've won every series. What am I talking about? They've stayed competitive. They've won every series they've been in. Right. They've lost the same amount of games as the Lakers, right? And, you know, some people might argue that they had a tougher matchup in each
tougher round competition. You can even say tougher competition. Yeah.
So, you know, if you think this game's, you know, this is a series destined to go seven, go for it. You know, if this is a six either direction, plus 230. I really can't argue against literally, there's four options. I understand the argument for every single distance that you think this might go.
All right, so maybe then that is not the market to play in if people really do. And that's what I thought. It was odd that five and seven were like within 10 cents of each other, right? And I think that's the story that market is telling. And it seems like you agree. One of the places you have been dead on balls accurate, it's an industry term if you know about Marissa Tomei, is in the prop market, right? So talk to me about the prop market here, whether it's game one or something like value for the finals MVP, you know? Because here's my thoughts on both of those. For game one, you've been having like this question, right? Will they use Bam on AD or LeBron? Well, that has to impact your thoughts on some of the Lakers props, right? And I have similar questions about some of the Heat's performances. I go right to the good old combination of Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero for things like made threes, for things like points. Tyler Hero is, you know, is living his best life right now. You know, I think that on a number of levels. Where would you go on these prop bets, Kev?
Yeah, I think if you're going to go strictly to game one, and then we can probably have a little bit of time to hit the full scope.
Yeah, for game one,
But I think the LeBron points plus assists is probably an area that I'm going to want to play in. I'll just pull them up individually. So it's 8.5 for his assists. And then you take a look at the point side of the coin, and it's 28.5. So it's probably going to be a number posted at 37.5. That's usually how they'll price him. Add it up, slap an extra hook on. Yeah. And I think that, because I mentioned that LeBron might want to try and average 13 assists a game to average a triple-double for the postseason. He's been diming more and more. This is a series that I don't have a great feel for yet about how much Dwight JaVale we see versus how much Markieff Morris we see. It all might just depend on how many minutes Bam Adebayo can play and foul trouble in that regard.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother, like, can Kelly Olynyk get minutes? Is Myers Leonard going to be forced back into the rotation for this team? But I just think it's a good spot to take LeBron's points plus assists, because whether he's in attack mode or whether he's in dish mode, You've got both sides of the coin there. It's the NBA Finals. I wouldn't want to leave the points at home, but he's been diming so much. I wouldn't want to leave that. I think points plus assists for him is great. You know, you kind of mentioned some of these other guys for Miami. Hero's at 15.5. Duncan's at 11.5. These are guys that, you know, pretty consistently are going to at least get the minutes and the attempts to give you a shot. Even Jay Crowder's at 11.5. If you think the regression stick is now going to come the other side of this coin, he might be due for a big game in that regard. And I'll throw you another one here, man. Like, and we can kind of, like, the players futures odds for NBA Finals MVP, right?
Yeah, LeBron's a ridiculous.
LeBron's a ridiculous
-165. I don't think I can.
I can't bet that either. And that's,
I got a guy I want to ask you about.
I wonder if it's going to be the same guy that I'm going to talk about. It's Goran Dragic.
Go ahead.
Ooh, Goran Dragic at 20-1. Here's why, though. So LeBron had a year where he won a title. Had they lost, the finals MVP would have been Danny Green. Then when they came back from 3-1 against the Dubs, it would have been Draymond Green. It's this odd thing where, like, if you want to beat LeBron, your stars have to be your stars, but you also need this outlier performance that nobody could have ever seen coming. And my thing is, like, Duncan's an outrageous number, but, like, that's not going to happen. And I'm conflicted on if there's value on Hero because of the last series and at 30-1. Like, I don't know what to do there. But Goran has to be great for Miami to have a chance. And can his counting stats look maybe a little bit better than Jimmy and Bam, who are getting the job done on the other side of the court so much?
Right.
Maybe.
So, interesting, because I was thinking, like you, remember that one finals with Golden State where Andre Iguodala was actually the finals MVP?
Right. Kawhi and wanted averaging that, like, 17 a game once.
No, I hear you. I hear you, right? And when we were both looking at this market, we were very close. I was looking at Bam. I was looking at Bam at 9-1, Kev, for similar reasons, right? And you talked about this. You don't know. He may be on AD. He may be on LeBron. In the universe where Miami wins the title, right? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and Bam went for, what, 34-11 at one point also? I think there's going to be so much. I think it could be a Bam coming out party on two sides, and part of that might be what he does versus a LeBron. So I thought Bam was an interesting idea in that universe at 9-1, because I think Bam is created in a lab for the 2020 NBA. Here's another question I want to ask you, and if we had to bleed into the next segment, c'est la vie. You know, you talked about your fandom here, right, for both teams on some level. Is there anything, obviously, the fact that LeBron is against this former team, Pat Riley against the former team also, by the way, but the former team aspect of it, you consider Eric Spoelstra one of the best coaches in the NBA, right?
Yep.
We talk about things like, oh, when Matt Patricia's playing Bill Belichick from the tree, do they know what Belichick wants to do? Do they have the book on him? How plausible is it, Kev, that Eric Spoelstra knows how to slow LeBron more than any other coach he would ever face? How plausible is it that Pat Riley knows what motivates LeBron, whether it's the triple-double or not? How plausible is it that Miami has a book and Spoelstra has a book on LeBron?
It's a fair question. Spoelstra, though, hasn't coached him in, you know, over half a decade. And I think LeBron, I mean, LeBron led the NBA in assists this year, right? Like, the game is ever evolving. And your approach, if you think that you're going to just take the ball out of his hands, is something he's kind of done this year, and he's gotten other guys involved. I also might give you a little bit of a silly answer, but, like, is there such book? Does that book exist? I've yet to see that book. I don't know if that book is available. But I know Spoelstra's going to make it tough on him. I promise.
But if someone has it, could it not be Eric Spoelstra?
I mean, once Budenholzer was eliminated, I mean, it was either Brad Stevens, Nick Nurse, or Spoelstra. Like, it was always going to be a great head coach on the other side of this coin. And this could work, and quickly we can hit it maybe on the other side. Just the LeBron series point average. I think it's a pretty interesting market that they're giving us there.
All right, we'll talk about this because there is some familiarity here, and I wonder the impact of that as we move along the series. But game one tips off tonight. There'll be no shortage of things to watch for the next couple of days here in the sports world. We'll come back with more here on The Early Line. But the news update with Chris Welsh is up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, I'm Dr. David Chow, a.k.a. Pro Football Doc. I spent 17 years on an NFL sideline with the Chargers as a head team physician, and I can tell you teams don't want to tell you the whole story. That's where I come in. I know what they're trying to tell you and trying not to tell you. I know how to assess injuries and how it will impact players and teams that week. Come check out ProFootballDoc.com. You can't make a bet or set a fantasy lineup without coming to consult with us at ProFootballDoc.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here onto the Early Line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. We also welcome back our radio audience from around the country, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh, hooking you up, especially out there on the West Coast, the mightier 1090. And out there, they are all about the Lakers and game one of the NBA Finals against the Miami Heat. There's a couple of other markets to briefly touch on here, Kev, you know, because our friends and partners at FanDuel are asking, who do we think in the finals? This is different, I guess, than the MVP, right? Who will be the top point scorer, the top assist getter, and the top rebounds getter of the NBA Finals? My knee-jerk reaction, tell me how crazy I am, Kev, is I think Jimmy Butler for points because AD and LeBron might split it. For assists, that's where I think LeBron could be the answer. And then for rebounds, give me Bam Adebayo because I've seen Anthony Davis be, you know, inconsistent at best on the boards.
So these are really fun markets. Unfortunately, though, I don't think there's any reason to be playing top point scorer unless you do the what you're doing, which is taking a Heat player, incredible value there. Though I think it's hard to stop AD and LeBron because you can get better numbers on both AD and LeBron to be the game one top point scorer of the game.
Gotcha.
So I'd rather just take them to be the top point scorer of game number one. Most assists, it's going to be LeBron, but it's minus 440. It's an outrageous number. Not lay that. You want to swing on Rondo, who weirdly might average 10 assists, no problem there. The rebounds number, I think it's one of two people, but it's not Anthony Davis. It's either Bam or it's LeBron. Okay. LeBron's averaged double-digit rebounds in all three series. Anthony Davis actually only did it in one of the first three series. And we all know the rebound numbers were very short against Denver. And that's kind of the thing with LeBron. We get into the finals now. The minutes uptick that we've been wondering, if it comes, if he's playing 40 a night, that's when he starts grabbing 13 boards a game. So at plus 285, I don't think that's a bad way to look at it. And then just finally here, the LeBron series points average, it's 28.5. This is a spot where he has a points total of 28.5 in game number one. I shade this to the over. You only need one or two explosive games to where this thing feels like it can sail. You're always going to be, I feel like, in the mix for this over. He went over this number in the last four finals he's played in, all of those being against the Golden State Warriors. As he gets to the finals, everything just takes an uptick. Though I will say, fair counters are, this is more pass first than he's ever been. And, you know, with the nature of his minutes, maybe there's not going to be this wild, necessary burst for him to play 40 some odd minutes. But I'd lean towards the over on that market.
All right, no problem. Yeah, I'm on the Bam for the rebounds because I think he's the guy for Miami as opposed to this, you know, big lineup where we don't know how much McGee, how much Howard, how much Morris, how much AD, right? So that one is intriguing to me. And, you know, Jimmy Butler,
I worry about foul trouble for Bam.
But that's my thing about the points one. The points one for Jimmy Butler is 17-1, Kev. And I mean, like, you know, I don't think. Listen, fundamentally, the Lakers are not going to run away and blow this team out. I really don't believe that's going to happen. The Heat's defense is too good, and then in the fourth quarter, they're going to give the ball to Jimmy Butler, right? So, like, I see Butler as the
Duncan Robinson
and Tyler Hero. They get buckets in the flow of the offense when the ball is moving, right? When it comes down to the end, sometimes they give Jimmy Butler the ball and they're like dribble for 18 seconds and then go get a bucket.
Sure.
And I think but sometimes they don't do that to the Duncan fourth Robinson.
Quarter and he's got 14 points going into the fourth
that's
quarter.
Fair.
But that's fair. I can't argue it's 17-1.
But in the series, right? And in the series, though, Butler is the consistent one. Duncan Robinson's going to have a game. Tyler Hero's going to have a game. But if you have to look at this like in cumulative for the entire series, I think 17-1 is good value. We do have to move on, though, Kev. We'll have plenty to discuss in the NBA Finals. But, you know, it's not usually we have this going on with eight baseball games going on. And also, honestly, guys, we have headline news in the NFL, okay? Different people will view this differently. How much of a threat this is, what the NFL should do in response, and all of that. We're not talking about that right here, right now, okay? We knew at some point the NFL was going to have a scare. That's why they built in all that schedule flexibility with the bye weeks and talking to Tampa Bay about potentially moving the Super Bowl. And Kev, it is week four, and here we are. We are a quarter of the way through the season, and after the testing that happened after, you know, week three games, three members of the Tennessee Titans and five members of their staff have tested positive for COVID. This came out right after we were done yesterday, Kev, right? And the news started flowing. The Titans shutting down their team facility until Saturday. The Minnesota Vikings also doing the same because the Titans played the Vikings yesterday. You know, those they were sweating and breathing all over each other for 3.5 hours on Sunday now with these people who have tested positive. And then you also have to think about, you know, the Titans play the Steelers this week. What about them? The Vikings play the Texans this week. What about them in terms of travel? What about competitive advantage? This story is going to continue to move, but we have our first scare in the NFL, Kev.
Yeah, this is a real big moment here. If the Titans and the Vikings, as of Saturday, are with no new positive tests, well, that's great news. And I think it's then reasonable to say they should go out there and play those games. It's three players and five personnel members on the Titans, right? The question is almost always going to be the when, right? And, you know, for those three players, how many Vikings did they come in contact with? Okay, well then how many Vikings did those Vikings come in contact with? But also, how is it only three Titans players? Like, how do they not come in more contact with them?
Listen, when we had this with St. Louis, Kev, when we had this with Miami, right, it was like two, and then the next day it was like seven, and then the next day it was like 17. So can we literally in hours hear that, oh, yeah, four of the Vikings are also positive, another eight of the Titans? We might, but we might not. Also, it's so up in the air.
No, it is, and this is where we're just going to have to wait and see how this all develops. I hope that we get to a point where we're just trying to figure out how much of a disadvantage the lack of practice the Vikings and the Titans are going to get by the way, like, if we do get to that point, like, that's a very, very big issue for a Vikings team that's trying not to go to 0-4 and a Titans team that's playing up against the Pittsburgh Steelers squad as they both enter 3-0 into that game. Obviously, that's secondary right now to these COVID tests, but that's like a whole nother aspect of this. The contingency plan of them playing the game on Monday, right? I almost feel like they should just lock that in now, right? If there's not meant to be fans there anyway, then what's the point? And listen, people like Monday night doubleheaders as is, so figure it out, figure who gets the game. That's a weird thing, is I don't know if it might get broadcasted. I don't know how they're going to sort all of
that.
But, like, that's, to me, I think where we're at here. They have to be as cautious as possible.
So, wait, let me ask you something, because that's my next question. Do you have faith that they will be as cautious as possible? Because I have seen already yesterday, Kev, a difference in the way this is being talked about versus, say, Major League Baseball versus other sports. Like, in Major League Baseball, when someone tested positive, they would just shut down. Right? They would just shut down. It wasn't this, like, let's hold open the door of possibility that, hey, maybe it's only three players and we could still get this game in. There was never, when it was the St. Louis Cardinals, still like one or two players, it was never like, oh, let's just, you know, put these three guys to the side and proceed. It still seems like we're talking about that in the NFL like it's a possibility. Isn't it just, whoa, we got to shut it down? It seems like it's playing out differently. It seems like the NFL is almost pushing us to play more than I felt from Major League Baseball.
I disagree.
Okay, tell me why.
If the Marlins right had that outbreak and then their next scheduled game wasn't a week away, we would have said, let's see what things look like as the week progresses. That's the big difference here. If the Titans and the Vikings next game was supposed to then be on Monday, they wouldn't have played Monday, nor Tuesday, nor Wednesday.
And so really, if you think this was a Thursday night football, if the Titans were on Thursday night football this week, you think they would have canceled it already, or they would have, like, waited for the test today? Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't pretend to say that I know the answer.
That's fair.
But that's the difference between baseball and the NFL here. In a week span, it's one game to the next game. In a week span, Major League Baseball, they probably had seven games plotted out over that stretch.
So you think the time is like what gives them the window to like try to see if it is. All right, so we are going to learn a lot today from a fantasy standpoint, though. Are you going to try to plan accordingly now? You know, if you have a Derrick Henry, if you have a James Conner, if you have a Corey Davis, a Jonnu Smith, a Juju Smith-Schuster, are you hitting the waiver wire today with the assumption that all of a sudden the Steelers have a week four bye?
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird spot. I would think you just go to your bench depth in there, because you're going to have to drop people then, right? You're not dropping
right, and that's
any
the decision
you
have to make.
Right, you're not going to drop any of these.
Not necessarily drop like Juju, right? But if you all of a sudden have new buys that come online at a moment's notice, might you have to drop the last player on your bench to get someone who you know you need to use in the scenario where some of these games come off the board? I mean, FanDuel did, in fact, take the Titans-Steelers game off the board yesterday, right? So not like dropping James Conner. Right. But understanding that you may need to drop someone else on your bench to get a guy who you can more trust will be available for week four.
Yeah. I mean, right. Like, I know. Yeah. There's some people out there that do like stashes of players that they hope, you know, months from now.
In a dynasty league, let's say. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, fantasy football in this spot here is like there's so much more at stake.
So if you're a manager, are you assuming and managing as though this game will not happen or that it will?
It just depends on your roster. It really does.
All right. So try and get ahead of it. We will continue to see the results of this testing throughout the next, I don't know, 24, 48 hours, and we'll tell you about it for sure. We'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, right here onto the early line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh trying to give you all the information you need to be profitable on this Wednesday, September 30th. Can you believe it is almost October already, Kev? It really feels like we were like in the throes of a shutdown only like, I don't know, weeks ago, right? And now all of a sudden we've gotten champions being crowned in almost every sport. I don't think the Denver Broncos or the New York Jets are going to be crowned anything anytime soon, right? But they are the two teams that are playing tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. But the Denver Broncos made news. Remember last week, Jeff Driskel got the start against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He looked like a dumpster fire. They made the move to Brett Rypien. And, you know, Fangio is saying that's where they're sticking. This was interesting after the Drew Lock injury, right? They bring in Blake Bortles. They have Driskel. They go into Rypien, though. And Kev, I'm all about, you know, making jokes on the New York Jets, right? We've talked about this all the time. You like to make jokes about the New York Jets, my fandom, Adam Gase, and it's warranted. But, Kev, with Brett Rypien, the third quarterback of the Denver Broncos, in emergency duty, on a short week, traveling on the road to the New York Jets, Rypien and the Denver Broncos are still laying 1.5. Talk to me about this switch and if it changes your thought on Thursday Night Football tomorrow at all.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, come on. At some point, the Jets are home dogs on Thursday Night Football, and this is QB3 coming in. Come on.
But the issue is it's not Brett Rypien. Denver was laying 3 on the road with Jeff Driskel at quarterback. That's where the initial issue comes. To be honest with you, Jeff Driskel, Brett Rypien, I ain't moving a line. I'm not moving a line. The mistake was Denver laying 3 on the road with Jeff Driskel. That would be the issue where I would be annoyed. What world? Jeff Driskel's worth 1.5 more than Brett Rypien?
It moved the 1.5.
Like, yeah, it did. And I honestly think that's a situation, though, where people saw a quarterback change and were awesome, I'm beating him. And it got slammed. But, like, why were you not taking the Jets +3 when Jeff Driskel was the quarterback?
I can't imagine.
No, I'm not saying rhetorically.
Of course.
Right? Like, what are we doing here? It was Jeff Driskel. I'm more excited about Brett Rypien.
Okay. Let me ask you this then, okay? Because is this better or worse for some of the Denver skill players, right? I mean, guys like Jerry Jeudy, guys like Noah Fant, guys like Melvin Gordon, guys like KJ Hamler, who I was talking about last week as a waiver wire diamond. Is this, like, that offense under Driskel against Tampa Bay looked like dog poo? It almost makes me feel like you could get an uptick in perception for some of these guys making the move to QB3.
So, last night on In Game Live, as I said to you, right, it was a dry night. So we started talking about Thursday Night Football. And yes, I'm going to take credit for this. We started to talk about how everybody thinks this is just going to be the worst game of all time. Nobody's going to score. Nobody's going to move the ball. It's going to be 3-0.
Our graphics guy, Steve, was showing us alternative bets of taking a total below like 9.5.
Now that I respect, because that's a bold move. But also, like, both these defenses stink. So last night, there were 5 yardage props on the board, right? And I was like, just take all of them over, right? And we're hitting on one by one by one by one. We were able to get 3 of them to add 3 yards. Judy's receiving yards is now up to 52.5. For a number one receiver, that's still low against the Jets defense, especially if you think they might be throwing. Noah Fant, who might actually be their number one target, is 44.5. It was 41.5. That moved 3 yards. And let's just make the point now, okay? Frank Gore's rushing yards is 51.5. It was 48.5. Frank Gore has gone over that number each of the 2 games that he's been the starting quarterback. Frank Gore somehow did that in monstrously negative game scripts. They're not playing a bad Denver team. God forbid they might actually be in front. 51.5? Give me the alt line here of Frank Gore for 100 yards rushing. Like, I just think 51.5, it's going to keep moving. It really is. He's the lead back against the bad Denver team. Like, and look, we'll break down Thursday Night Football tomorrow.
Yeah.
But since we're talking about it, I just think that this is a game where, you know, you mentioned watch for the hook. Like, the 1.5 is super weird because it's -108 on both sides. But the 39.5 last night was 40 on the total. And I think this might be a total that keeps bouncing back and forth as people deal with Rypien versus Darnold and Jets defense versus Broncos defense.
I will make the point. Remember last week how we were talking about, damn, Braxton Berrios as the number one wideout for the Jets? That may improve, okay, because guys like Crowder and Perryman, at least Crowder was limited in practice, so they may get some of those weapons back for Sammy D on the week at home as still somehow home dogs. That was obviously the biggest news, you know, kind of a switch there at quarterback in Denver. I think we may have a new starter in Los Angeles as well when it comes to the Rams and it comes to the running back room. Darrell Henderson Jr. looks like he's going to be the starter moving forward. Remember, now that Cam Akers got banged out, there was this kind of conglomerate. We talked about the veteran Malcolm Brown. But Kev, you know, you were down on Henderson. It's now been 2 weeks where he has looked decent in his duty. Is Henderson potentially seizing the brass ring in the Rams running back room?
Right. I mean, and that's the thing, is everything changes with injury, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think much of the Jonathan Taylor outlook, and while Marlon Mack was healthy for a quarter, that was the right way to think about it. And then Marlon Mack got hurt, right? So this is a spot here where week one, Henderson, clearly the third back on the team, right? Clearly the third back. But then we saw Malcolm Brown get a little banged up. We saw Cam Akers obviously miss the game, and Henderson walks away with 20 carries. Now, do I think I would rather, if the Rams are going to play the Giants, right? Great game script. They should be in front. Maybe Henderson has a monster day. Might I try and sell high before the Cam Akers return? Think so.
All right. Fair enough. I know you have been kind of on the side of Cam Akers there. At some point, though, Kev, right? Like, if Henderson puts on tape and in the stat box, you know, like 3 or 4 weeks where it looks like he can handle that role, it may be tougher for Akers to get back. But that remains to be seen. They've got the New York Football Giants in week four. You know, one other injury that I do want to talk about is Chris Godwin. It's been a shame. It's been hard for him to be on the field. He's had a hamstring and a concussion. And now they are saying he could, because of that hamstring injury, miss multiple games. You see it right there. This Bucs offense, listen, had Mike Evans dealing with a hamstring. You have Godwin now, who had the concussion and now a hamstring. Scotty Miller, who many people have talked about as a little pivot in the slot. He got banged up as well. At what point do you think these little bumps and bruises will have an impact on the Tampa Bay offense, which is, you know, trying to get them familiar with itself under elite game manager Tom Brady?
Yeah, and you, a little Tom, is, I don't know if that's a shot. I don't know. I don't even want to say that.
No, it's a good thing, actually, that he's a game manager, right? That's what he's being asked to do instead of what, you know, Jameis Winston was doing in Tampa. They always said if he controlled the ball, didn't give it up, they have the weapons, they have an emerging defense, that's all they need him to do.
Unfortunately for Chris Godwin, he's going to miss this week. Then they play Thursday night football, so the short week won't leave much room for him to be back on the field for that. They then follow that up playing the Green Bay Packers, who will be coming off of their bye. So that's going to be a monster game between those two teams, especially if both teams are handling business accordingly going into that matchup there. So they're going to want to have him back. The Chargers, by the way, like some injury news, Harris Jr. got banged up and is headed to the IR. So, oddly enough, right, like this would have been on paper, Hayward, Harris, Evans, Godwin. Well, both sides losing, you know, one of their top guys there. And it's a shame. And I think what's really interesting, though, is for me, Godwin very clearly does seem to be like the guy that would get the targets if he was actually out there. At what point does his lack of availability start to cost him precious reps and building that rapport with Tom?
And I think what you mentioned here, I'm with you, and it's even a higher leverage issue because it's all new, right? So someone else could, in fact, get that kind of reps, build that kind of trust with Tom Brady in the absence of him being able to do it with Godwin. Could that be a guy like O.J. Howard? Could that be Miller if he is out there? Remember, Mike Evans gets those one-yard fades for touchdowns. Could he get targeted a little bit more as well? I bring up the Godwin injury because it is also an example, Kev, of a game where you gotta watch out for the hook, all right? As I look at these Tampa Bay Buccaneers who host the Chargers, right? And that's an early game. So it's the Chargers flying west to east, right? For that 1 o'clock start and putting the rookie Justin Herbert in a situation against the Todd Bowles defense. This is 7.5. We've also got juice at -130, Kev, in this one. So if you're watching for the hook, watch carefully. It may continue to move. That's one of these games that I think, you know, we talk about it every week, Kev. If you want to get it, maybe get it now. There's some other games that are right around these key numbers, right? Cardinals, Panthers, 3 and the hook. I mentioned the Tampa Bay one. I mean, Vikings, Texans, we don't even know if that's going to be played. Your Philadelphia Eagles just under a touchdown still. I believe that's a primetime game. And then listen, Miami is a home dog in this one. Seattle with literally the longest flight possible in the NFL, going from Seattle all the way down to South FLA. Are any of these games one where you're watching for the hook and you want to get it now?
Well, the Eagles-Niners one is the one that we should certainly talk about. Because, Dan, that opened at 5.5. So we've now, because I would say, right, if a game sits on 6.5.
It's up to 7. It's up to 7. The movement has continued. It literally just moved this morning or before last check. The Niners are now laying a full 7.
Yeah, no, it's been 7 since yesterday. But it opened at 5.5, like when all of the week 1 game or the week 3 games are kind of coming to a close. So, but 6.5 to 7 would be a watch for the hook. Yeah. But it's -110 both ways here. You just said it's a primetime game. How far can this thing really go? You know, we've seen this with the book. There are times that they really don't want to have to move, right? We saw it with the Ravens and the Chiefs game, but they got forced to move to 3.5 off of 3. Clearly, in the Bucs-Chargers game, they don't want to go down from 7.5 to 7. As we get closer to this primetime game here, and people say the Eagles will never win another game, and the Niners are healthy, and the Niners are going to run them out of the building, and that all might be true, but does this get to 7.5?
You know, that is interesting. I think you make a good point also, Kev, about it being the Sunday night game that's known out there in the desert, you know, as like getaway game and getaway time. It's the last end of parlays, you know, for the day, and people who lost money throughout the day sometimes start chasing the dragon and try to get it all back on this one. So I wouldn't be surprised if the hook appears. I'll also say this, Kev, you know how big I am a lot on like West Coast flying to East for the 1 o'clock start. The reverse is also true. When East Coast teams go west for primetime late night games, the body clock is also, you know, usually messed up in a different way. The Eagles in this game, though, as we know, will not have Dallas Goedert. Kevin, it looks like, you know, he actually fractured his ankle. He's going to be out for multiple weeks. I know you've talked about the mass unit that is Philly. Greg Ward Jr. is someone who to be depended on, but it sucks. I thought Dallas Goedert was in for an emerging ascending season.
Yeah. Too bad he plays for the Eagles. It's such a joke, man. They're so banged up. How are they so banged up after last year? How? This is ridiculous, man. 3 starters on the offensive line. 4 of the top 5 pass catchers injured. 2 starting corners leave.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
It's going to be up to Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz, and I guess Greg Ward Jr. as the Philadelphia Eagles go into the Bay.
John Hightower.
Take on the 49ers. We'll tie a nice, neat little bow on this episode of The Early Line when we come back right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back here, everybody, to The Early Line right here, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. Kev, we're in a very busy time of sports, right? You know, we just crowned the Stanley Cup champion. We have 8 baseball games today, game 1 of the NBA Finals, and, you know, high leverage information that we are looking at in the NFL today, especially in Minnesota and Tennessee. But when I see 8 baseball games, I want to ask you, where are you going today? There's so many options. I'm very intrigued by the Bauer-Fried matchup. I'm very intrigued to see if the Dodgers just, you know, plant a flag and score 12 runs, you know, kind of like the Yankees did. I'm very intrigued to see if any of the teams who lost yesterday bounce back and force a game 3. What are you looking at today in Major League Baseball?
So, by the way, since we've been doing this show, money's coming in on the Reds. It's down to plus 110. The Braves are down to minus 126. It looks like I'm going to have to hold off on my post-show nap to wait until as late as possible to let all the Reds money come in. The here's the thing, though, Dan. I can tell you this with absolute certainty, that the bet I know I make is the Dodgers in two. That's the one that I know I make. And I've said this to you a lot. For me, I wait for things to get closer and closer and closer until I feel comfortable, conviction. And even if I like something, I might not want to bet. Like, I actually didn't put money down on the Yankees last night. There was enough at stake anyway, right? Emotionally invested. I didn't need to.
Sure.
But I know that I will be betting the Dodgers at plus 110 to win the series in two. Unless I end up somehow waiting too long and then all of a sudden it's like minus 110 and I'm going to be annoyed at the line movement. But that's my absolute favorite one on the board.
All right, fair enough. I have a feeling today that, like, you know, Toronto, you mentioned it, right? They were in that game, you know, but now even with Hinjin Ryu on the mound for them, I wonder if, you know, they kind of gave their best shot. And then Tampa really shows them what's going on today. I might be okay even playing Tampa on the run line and get Tampa at plus 156 on the run line, because maybe Toronto is just done and Glasnow puts them in the books today. That might be somewhere I go. You know I like the Padres. You know I like Trevor Bauer as well. I also think the Dodgers are going to put forth an offensive explosion. The over in that one seems interesting to me. We will talk about it all tomorrow, all the baseball games, what happened in game one of the NBA Finals, a Thursday night football game to preview. We'll find out what's going on with the Titans and the Vikings. And we'll even have our guy, Jay, the Sports Keg CEO, because there's some intriguing value on an MMA card. We're trying to help you win money. The Morning After is up next. Have a great day, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.